Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So the new tall doll term commences. Budget 2026 is only weeks away. There's a new housing plan overdue. So what are set to be the big ticket items up for debate in the Dáil chamber as government and opposition get back to business at Leinster House? Well, to talk us through all of this and, of course, the latest on the presidential campaign, I'm joined now by Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Harry, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire.
So it's all kicking off.
It is.
But, you know, the presidential election, also the budget to a certain extent, has kind of taken the focus off what we might be expecting in the Dáil term. Do you expect that to be the case for the next couple of weeks?
Absolutely. I think the presidential election will dominate until the 7th of October. And then in the lead up to the 7th of October, the budget will dominate. And then we'll go back to the presidential election. So there will probably be a little bit less focus on the Dáil, but there will be focus on the Dáil. Mm-hmm. So anybody who's walking up Kildare Street this afternoon might think that a German metal band is playing a concert, but it's Leaders' Questions returning for yet another spate as Mary Lou MacDonald and Micheál Martin and Simon Harris and Piers Doherty debate the issues of the day. So there are things that are happening in the Dáil. I think one of the big issues to be dealt with over the next couple of weeks will be the Occupied Territories Bill, which went to committee and has come back, and the government will have to make a big decision in relation to that, whether it will only include trade from the occupied territories or whether they will include services, which would be far more contentious. But I think that the political landscape has shifted. I think the State of the Union address that Ursula von der Leyen gave to the European Parliament last week, in which for the first time she gave an acknowledgement of what was happening in Gaza, in addition to the changing disposition of many European states in relation to Gaza, will make the passage of that particular piece of legislation a little bit easier, in my estimation.
And of course, the report yesterday, you know, the UN sponsored report, although it was independent, saying that this is genocide. You know, that, as you say, changes the picture somewhat, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the Irish government, to give it its due, has been describing it as genocide, at least since November 2024. So I think that perhaps the political cosmology is beginning to align in relation to this issue, and that Ireland will find itself much more in alignment with other European states than it had been. Spain, Norway, Luxembourg, the Netherlands and France to a certain extent were the outliers until now, but there seems to be more confluence now than there was previously.
So that's the Occupied Territories Bill. Then also we have this updated housing plan. That's been delayed, but it's expected. And Micheál Martin gave a commitment on that yesterday. We will see it soon.
It will. And it's, I mean, housing remains a huge issue, and it's been the recurrent issue for 10 years now. I mean, it first came up when Alan Kelly was housing minister, and that was in 2014. And there have been a succession of housing ministers since then. Each of them has grappled with the problem, and none of them has really succeeded. Mm-hmm. And the metrics are all going in the wrong direction at the moment. We have homeless figures creeping above 15,000 for the first time, almost 5,000 of whom are children. And despite repeated promises by successive governments over the year, they have failed to deal with this. Micheál Martin, in an interview earlier this week, was saying that private apartment construction is a big issue. That has fallen dramatically over the past couple of years, and they're trying to find ways of stimulating that particular component of the housing market. So I expect that there might be something within the budget that will act as a stimulant in relation to that, perhaps tax breaks, which in themselves will be
controversial and contentious, as you say, because always, you know, that phrase, tax breaks for developers, that causes war. But clearly, Micheál Martin in that interview yesterday in Morning Ireland is laying the groundwork, saying we're going to have to do something to encourage these developers to build the apartments that we so desperately need.
Yeah, I think it's balancing. I mean, there's a balance between taking some flak in relation to affording a tax break to developers, which will always be politically controversial, but also building the houses. So if the figures are 30,000 again or beneath 30,000 again, I think the government is going to find itself in all kinds of difficulties. I know it's relatively early in its term, but it really has to break that cycle, and it really has to increase the volume of completions every year. And to do that, it really has to find some way of stimulating the market. It's very complicated. We all know it's very complicated. And it takes a lot of money, it takes a lot of planning, and it takes a lot of grit and sweat, and that's what they're trying to do, and time will tell whether they're going to be successful in that or not.
But as you said at the outset, it impacts so many people. You know, there's a whole generation. In fact, we'll be talking to Adam Maguire about this when we're talking about his book, The Bailout Babies, who are affected by this and feel stuck. Health is the other big headline issue, and there's a sense, isn't there, that the money ministers, we've had this for quite some time now, particularly since COVID, the money ministers feel we are spending an awful lot on health.
Yes.
Full stop.
Yes. The year before last, Pascal Donoghue issued a fiat to the Department of Health and the HSE. He gave them more money in a once-off gesture, and he said, this is the line in the sand. We're not going to cross this line again. But unfortunately, that line has been breached last year, and it looks like it's going to be breached this year. And I think the argument that the money ministers have been making is that they put a lot of money into health and they haven't been seeing the comparative increases in terms of outcomes and productivity. And I think that they will be demanding some metrics in relation to that if they are to put more money into it. And we've seen Jennifer Carl McNeill, since she's become the Minister for Health, putting a lot of emphasis on that, looking at outcomes to make sure that the outcomes match the type of funding that's been put in. But I can't see health being anything but a costly item in the budget when it's drafted on the 7th of October.
Do you think, particularly because of the presidential election, the comments of Jim Gavin, that the triple lock is back on the agenda or will be in the coming months?
I think both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are intent on getting rid of the triple lock. They think the triple lock hamstrings the government in relation to its foreign policy, especially the deployment of Irish troops on peacekeeping missions abroad. For example, we're seeing the end of the deployment to Lebanon after half a century. And the difficulty that the government has is there hasn't been a new EU mission sanctioned for the past 25 years. And the big difficulty, of course, is the Security Council, because you have three of the big beasts on the Security Council are just rowing with each other all the time. You have China, you have Russia, and you have the United States. And they're essentially vetoing or blocking the deployment of new missions. Those who defend the triple lock say that the UN is an international body and we should rely on it. The difficulty is the Security Council is in a permanent state of blocking things at the moment. And the other mechanism, using the General Assembly, is very, very complicated. And the last time the General Assembly sanctioned an international mission like that was way back in the 1950s. And to do that would take a huge amount of diplomatic wrangling and negotiation. So what the government want to do is they want to have a double lock, essentially, just the parliament and the executive who make the decision. And those who criticise that will say that that's the government making a play to become more involved in a kind of European defence apparatus, etc.
Just a quick word before we finish. We know we're going to be talking a lot about the presidential election. Gareth Sheridan now has two councils backing him. He needs two more. Do people think he's going to get on the ballot at this stage?
It's finely balanced. He's done very well to get two, and he has a biddable chance of getting four. I think he's concentrating his focus on Carlow and Offaly, but there are other local authorities that are in play. And this was a relatively easy mechanism in previous presidential elections. In 2018, there were four candidates who got through via the local authority route. In 2011, there were also four, and in 1997, there were two. Derek Nally and Dana Rosemary Scallon. But the difficulty this time is that Fine Gael have imposed a whip. And in addition to that, even though Fianna Fáil has not imposed a whip, a lot of its councils are acting as if a whip were imposed.
Well, they've been told to do the right thing, haven't they?
Yeah,
and many of them, as far as Fianna Fáil are concerned,
are deciding to back Jim Gavin. Not all. So there are some councils who may be pliant. So I think they will focus on those two councils, but I think they will look to three or four other councils to see if they can get the route there. I think that if Gareth Sheridan gets a third council, that one local authority will feel almost compelled to give him the nod to allow him to stand, because the argument that his camp are making is that giving him a nomination is not tantamount to giving him an endorsement or a backing. It's just allowing him to stand. And there are councillors to whom I've spoken, and Barry Lenehan, besides watching Donald Trump in Windsor Castle, has been talking to lots of councillors as well, who are who really want the field to be as open and as competitive as possible.
Well, you wouldn't know where you'd see Barry Lenehan either. That's the other thing. Now, and we'll find out, of course, about that definitively. It won't be next Monday, Harry. Thank you so much for coming in. Harry McGee there from the Irish Times. Creaky knees next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.